This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell, Bear, Rick, you hanging out on Fan Run Radio. The Top 5 at 5 brought to you by the Axe House in Sevierville this afternoon. Rick, before you proceed, I believe a correction is in order from the end of last hour.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what I said, but just for further clarification, obviously Hilliard did lose that game to Tennessee. I think I had read that as maybe it was a Tennessee stat or something, but in the loss to Tennessee, Hilliard did pitch 3 innings. He gave up 2 hits and a run, and it was an earned run, so they pulled him out quickly against Tennessee. He did not have the stuff, as we were able to rough him up, it looks like, pretty well last time.
Mikel Hilliard, senior right-hander, will get the ball for LSU tomorrow at Lindsey Nelson.
And that is number one. That game's going to be at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow. Then coming up on Sunday, set your calendars appropriately. That game will either be at 12 o'clock high noon or 3 p.m. And then if Tennessee and LSU do have to play on Monday, that game will be at either 4 p.m. or 7 p.m. So all you got to know is late game on Saturday night, sometime in the afternoon on Sunday, and then either late afternoon or early nighttime on Monday.
If there is a 4 o'clock game on Monday, we will be live for that first hour, 3 to 4, getting you ready for the game, and then we'll shut it down. And I'm sure we'll have some sort of post-game show for you, whether it's overtime or we jump on for voluntary reaction. But we will be that's how we'll play it if it's a 4 o'clock start. If it's a 7 o'clock start, we'll do the whole show like normal, and we'll probably do voluntary action as well. We're going to do it tomorrow night after the show, no matter what, after the game, no matter what. So be sure to check it out. The first ever baseball voluntary reaction.
Wow, that's huge. Make sure you are listening for that. Also, in case you need a little bit of competition to get the energy flowing tonight, you might want to check out the NBA playoffs. The Hawks are playing at home for the first time in this second round. They're hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. That series is tied at 1-1. That game's going to be at 7:30 p.m. on ESPN. Then the night game, Denver trying to find their first win in the series, down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns. They host the Suns at 10 o'clock p.m. tonight on ESPN.
Well, last night, the end of the Nets-Bucks game, did you see that?
Yes. Game there.
One-point game. Is it Bruce Brown? Good player. Yeah. Like, he had a good game for them, but In a one-point game, when you've got Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant on your team, you probably should get one of those guys the ball.
Yep.
I mean, I'm no Red Auerbach over here. I'm no John Wooden. The next game I coach will be my first. I just think you give it to one of your best players in that situation. I don't know. That's just me.
No, I don't disagree at all, considering what was it? I think it was Irving had taken the last foul beforehand or something like that. But, yeah, I don't know. Brown missed with 6.4 seconds left to go, and that was brutal. All right, moving right along. Numero tres. Seahawks Russell Wilson says that there were unfortunate frustrations after last season, but the quarterback does want to stay in Seattle. I know that was a big conversation last year. Could Russell Wilson be potentially on the move? If Aaron Rodgers is as well, is that just going to completely gut the NFC in terms of quarterbacks? But it looks like Wilson, as far as now, is going to stay in Seattle, but still admitting frustrations with last year.
You know, for a guy that is renowned for his professionalism and no drama attitude, there sure is a lot of drama around Russell Wilson. You guys notice he's got the Hollywood starlet wife. He's always
kind of a drama queen.
Talking about, you know, there's always some rumblings about maybe he needs to be out of there. Maybe his teammates don't like him. Maybe his coach doesn't. Like, there's always just some weird stuff going on around him. He's good. Don't get me wrong. It just seems like there's always some really unnecessary tension, stuff that you don't see from other quote-unquote elite quarterbacks in the league.
I think I'm with you. I definitely think I'm with you, especially considering that his teams have been primarily carried by the defenses throughout his career with the Legion of Boom and so on and so forth.
That's
so
true.
I find that fascinating. Anyways, all right, number four. Guys, UFC challenger Marvin Vettori and champion Israel Adesanya have both made weight for their upcoming middleweight championship fight coming up this Saturday night. Russell, I don't know if you got to see yesterday, but their news conference was a little bit fiery at the end.
They get in each other's face.
Vettori definitely got up to confront Adesanya not once but twice.
He's
during the press conference with Dana White, you know, having to hold him back.
Yeah.
And so they got
stepping
into it.
Stepping beside
him. Hey, save it for tomorrow. Save it for the fight. Save it for the octagon. So they did one of those kind of things. But
sell those pay-per-views.
You can tell that these guys do legitimately not like each other. So I can't wait for this fight. Both guys made weight. This fight is on.
Russell, what's the last pay-per-view you actually paid for, or have you ever?
I think I went in on a video seat Tennessee versus Louisiana Monroe game, maybe in like 1999, something like that.
Huh. Okay.
It's been a minute.
Okay. Wow. That is a long time. Thought something else might have come up sooner that you were interested in. No, like a... a John Jones or a Lesnar, a Silver Super Fight?
I didn't say I'm not interested.
I simply asked him when he paid for
it.
I didn't say I don't watch.
That's an excellent point.
I got Junior a WrestleMania one year. He was
That's very nice
kid.
Of you.
That's probably it. Yeah, went on in on WrestleManias probably in the late 90s at some point.
That's how I watched my first couple.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Last but not least, June 11th, 1997. Do you know what happened on this day?
June 11th, 1997.
It was during a finals.
The flu game.
The flu game. Or as I like to say after watching The Last Dance last year, the food poisoning pizza gone wrong game.
Or as those of us who were of age at that time, the hangover game.
So that's the story here. What's the real story to the flu game? Last year, it kind of came out during the documentary that, hey, it actually might have been a bad pizza that was given. Bears presenting another option that people have said, a little bit of a hangover game. Do you have any specific direction that you go with this event in history?
I don't know. I mean, it's obviously he wasn't feeling great. But if it was the bad pizza, I don't know that that necessarily means it was sabotaged or anything. It might have been a bad pizza. I mean, you get bad food.
It happens.
The man ate an entire pizza by himself at, what, 2 or 3 in the morning before he played an NBA basketball game? I mean, that doesn't seem normal. Maybe it was normal for him, but
eating an entire pizza by yourself at 2 in the morning screams, I'm drinking.
Didn't he do something like he spit on the pizza or something to make sure that nobody else took his pizza?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
What an insane man.
He's
a strange bird.
If I ever see anybody spit on a pizza just to claim it, I'm like, we might want to reevaluate our friendship.
Not only
I don't care about the pizza.
I'm not going to have any
bigger
of that
problems.
Pizza. You win. But I don't think we can be friends anymore.
Yeah, it's like, what else are you spitting
on? I've never spit on anything, but definitely me and my brothers, when we were growing up, before we got into high school, we'd do stunts like that.
I'll give a pass on a brotherly rivalry. Right? Like, I think that's – I never had a brother. I always wish I did, but I feel like that's something you can get away with then.
I wouldn't spit on food, man. I'd be too afraid of what my parents would have done to me.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Tanned my hide spitting on food. Kind of uncouth behavior is that.
So there you go, gentlemen. That is it. That is your top five at five.
Thank you, Rick. Top five at five brought to you, as I say, by our friends at the Axe House in Sevierville. The first Axe House in the Smokies to incorporate food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. It's an all-inclusive experience. They've got one in Sevierville. You might have remembered we did a show up there a couple of weeks ago, and they've got one in Pigeon Forge as well. If you've never thrown axes before, it's a lot of fun. You can go with family. It is actually a pretty fun date night thing to do as well. Your kids will love it. It's safe. They always have a proper technique and safety demonstration before they allow you to even touch the axes over there. And it is, as I said, a lot of fun. They've got different games. It's more than just throwing the axes. They have like video games where they can put you play tic-tac-toe, like, you know, killing zombies and stuff like that with the video projection thing out there. It is the Axe House. You got to go check it out. AxeHouseTN.com for more information. That's AxeHouseTN.com. We were at 1436 Winfield Dunn Parkway, across from Guerrilla Fireworks in Sevierville, and then right in the heart of Pigeon Forge. So, Mikel Hilliard gets the rock, and that is a little bit of
a curveball,
a little bit of a surprise. Yeah. You know, a lot of people thought that Marceau, I wonder if this is something with Maneri saw that he just likes this from a strategic standpoint, or if their ace, Marceau, after pitching twice on Friday and Monday
earlier this week,
if they're just trying to save him up and
they want to put him up against
Blade.
That'll be a duel.
It will be. That's going to be exciting.
Whew. It is here. Massive sports weekend on Rocky Top incoming. Volmageddon commences tomorrow night at 7 at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. If you're just joining us, a two-part Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day.
Where are we at?
What'll happen this weekend? What is the prediction? Vol fans feeling it. We got 235 votes cast at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 48.1% of the audience says Vols in three. 44.7% say Vols in two. 5.5% says LSU in three. And a mere 1.3% of the audience says LSU in two. So no big surprise there that 94% of the audience thinks Tennessee's going to win the series. But how do they get there? That is the question. 865-546-8200. We do have lines open. We're going to open lines the rest of the show. If you want to jump in, take a shot. 546-8200. The second part of your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. The event this week, the series, biggest Tennessee sporting event since blank. Biggest Tennessee sporting event since blank. You can go football. You can go basketball. You can bring up women's hoops, gymnastics, volleyball, whatever. It don't matter. Your thoughts. 865-546-8200. Your number to get up with us. D.R. Vol is next. Good afternoon, D.R. Vol.
Hey, guys, that's kind of cool. Reek Maneri bent the knee, isn't it?
It's weird, man.
Before the game?
It's like he's playing some kind of weird psychology game with us.
Yeah. Don't let him psych you out, D.R. Fall. Just do whatever you were going to do.
You know, when he said that, I was like, man, I feel like Bear. Maybe I'm like him. I don't like people being nice to me. I'd rather just people come at Vol Twitter and Vol fans and hate us.
Well, it's not going to make any difference. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he thinks that Tennessee fans are going to read that quote, "I apologize, I didn't mean anything by it," and be like, "Oh, okay, that's all we wanted. We'll just we'll come out and have a hot dog and sit in our seats, and we might leave early." No, man, we're out for blood. We're going to Omaha. It doesn't matter what you say. Anything you say is only going to make it worse. So you might as well just keep it shut, Paul.
That's right. I don't remember who said it in Tombstone, but somebody said we play for blood, and I guess that's us.
That's my game. That's precisely my game.
What a GOAT movie, guys. Here's my question for y'all. Do you think there's going to be more people in the stadium or outside the stadium at the block party?
Ooh, great question.
Depends on the weather.
The weather's nice. I think it'll probably be about equal, man. I think you could see 4,000 or 5,000 people turned out if the setup is good.
Oh yeah,
and you can see, and it's fun, and there's food and beverage, and there's restrooms available. I think you'll see a lot of people go down there and take advantage of that.
So is this a one day thing, or are they doing it for both games?
Man, that's another good question. Do you know, Rick?
The what?
Are they doing this for all three games?
Just for Saturday or
the Big Orange Block Party?
Yeah.
For all three games.
Really?
Interesting. Oh, that's awesome. Well, guys, I look forward to a drinking. What is it you say, Russ? Drinking from the Chalice of Victory?
The Keg of Glory. Chalice of Victory is pretty good, too. But the Keg of Glory has been tapped by one Anthony Vitello. We are passing out the Red Solo Cups this weekend. Come one, come all, and do a keg stand on the Keg of Glory as we celebrate a return trip to Omaha, the first time since 2005.
Amen. And retire Reek Maneri. Y'all have a good time.
Thank you, DR Vault.
Did you say Reek Maneri?
He said retire Maneri.
Oh. I thought he said Reek, too.
Paul Maneri's retirement party / UT baseball block party / NCAA Super Regional. Oh, man, you can feel it building. Brian says, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Maneri double down earlier this week on Tennessee fans' comments on T-Bob's show? He even mentioned racist comments directed towards Trey Morgan. I did not see that.
I haven't
dropping
necessarily
that out
seen
there.
That much either.
Vol in Birmingham is saying that too, that LSU radio guy said his comments were because we said racist things to Morgan. I'm not saying, I feel like that would have been a much bigger story if that had actually happened.
Yeah, you know, I remember, I can't say for certain whether it happened or not, but I do remember talking to the legends around that game and based on that weekend. And I know that, you know, hey, their intention has never been to cross any of those lines. I think that,
no.
You know, they certainly –
And
man,
if they should,
they can
be thrown out. Yeah, if
I don't believe that that is the route that they're going in, and I don't think that people have heard them go in that direction. I feel like we would have really heard it throughout the season. So, again, I can't confirm or deny to myself, but I have every reason to believe that hey, I don't believe that they were saying racially in charged comments.
I would certainly hope not, and if there is any evidence you see or hear anybody doing that, they need to be thrown out and banned from Lindsey Nelson Stadium permanently. But I just think, you know, all that trash talk was coming from the student section, and I mean, Rick, you're of that generation. I mean, just those kind of comments are just – it's unacceptable through all generations now, but particularly your generation, there's just no tolerance for
zero.
That. It's just – I would be stunned. I was watching the SEC Network did a great documentary on Skip Bertman, that who the LSU baseball coach who basically he's like their Pat Summitt. You know, there nobody followed college baseball until he came along and blah blah blah, all that stuff. And I did not realize this, but Albert Bell played for LSU. Do you guys even know who that is?
Yeah, I do.
Albert Bell is a great slugger for the Indians and the White Sox. Legendary head case in the mid-90s. Got caught corking his bat. Was almost assuredly juicing.
Wow.
Looking back on it.
That's what I've said it before. From the mid-80s on, there was some unreal guys that played in there.
He played for LSU. At the time, he was named – he went by Joel Bell. And he was a head case then – it was a hothead and clashed with Skip Bertman, and he was kicked off the team the year they went to Omaha, and it was at the SEC tournament, and they were playing Mississippi State, and there was a Mississippi State fan in the outfield who was racially abusing him, and Albert Bell, then Joel Bell, tried to go after him. He tried to climb the fence. They had like weird grainy footage too.
Right.
And this guy, this good old boy in the outfield, had a damn 2x4. A big thing of wood. And Albert Bell's trying to climb the fence to get at this guy.
I still would have put my money on Bell.
And his teammates had to hold him back.
He was insane.
And then a little after that, it ended up going south, and he ended up getting kicked off the team. That kind of stuff. I would just be stunned if something like that happened present day. Stunned and very disappointed. And I hope it's not like that. And it certainly shouldn't be, because there is no, there's just, man, it's, there's no room for it. It's just so stupid. So yeah, have a hard time believing that one.
I'm with you there. I really think that they've done things the right way.
Albert Bell, man, that guy was a nut. He sent, well, when the bat was corked and they confiscated it, and he sent somebody like a ball boy or something through the ceiling tiles
to get it,
to get into the umpire's locker room to get the bat.
Yeah.
Like, catching a kid.
Really? Albert Bell's insane. Completely and totally insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like baseball espionage. Sending a kid like a spy through the vents?
Oh, he was sending him to steal the bat back.
That's incredible.
I love those old videos. Those bats exploding. Stuff flying everywhere.
How do you even do that? Like, how do you cork your bat?
You, there's a couple of ways. I think you can cut off, like, the top of it. And then basically you just drill straight down. You paying attention, Smith?
Mm-hmm.
Straight down through the barrel of the bat with like a big drill. And then hollow you cork it,
yep.
And then you glue the top back on.
Yeah, they say that if you leave it just kind of hollow, it makes enough of a distinct sound to where the umpire knows, okay, something's different with that. But if you kind of stuff cork or styrofoam into it,
he broke his bat.
Yeah.
He broke his bat and shattered, and pieces went everywhere. And the umpire's like, wait a minute, let me see that thing.
Somebody filled one time. You know, like those Super Balls, you get out of the, you put the quarter in the machine, they bounce.
The
like
bouncy balls?
Yeah, the super high. They just, like, you
oh
barely
my gosh,
bounce.
Yeah, the super, like, super
somebody
ones.
Filled a bat with one of those. Those things went everywhere back in the 80s. Baseball players. What? Spider Tack. My man, Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
He got shook.
Spider Tack.
I went back and watched a video and listened
did
to
you?
It.
Did you? He had no idea how to answer, did he?
No, because he knew exactly what they were talking about.
And he knew he couldn't say
the,
no either.
Yeah.
He was just like, you know what? You know what? You know what? Yeah, we maybe or maybe not, but I'm not going to talk about this anymore. He was ticked.
How many of them guys using Spider Tack, Russ, in the majors?
I don't know, man. Between that and the steroids and the video signals and the trash can banging.
Well, what do you think's the worst out of all of them? I think it's the
trash
can banging stuff.
I mean, because that's really getting to the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
That's no place for that, man.
Yeah.
No place for that.
We've got a crazy, crazy story for after the break coming out of Barnstable, Massachusetts.
All right, stay with us. More of your phone calls coming up as well. 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, 546-8200. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Friday afternoon edition of the show. Talking Tennessee baseball, Vols and LSU in the Super Regional. Coming up tomorrow at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, Ricker Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? I'm saying Vols in three. It would be nice to be able to take Monday off from worrying as a fan, but it's hard for me to.
Much better have a Monday be our celebration day.
Okay, can I take 20 seconds? Do you have any difference if I say Chad, Blade, Will, or if I had said Blade, Chad, Will?
What do you mean?
In terms of starting pitching. What does the starting order change for you? Does that change any kind of prediction for you?
Does what change it?
Having Chad Dallas or Blade Tidwell starting out.
No, I mean, I think it's more, I mean, they're our two best, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, that's more likely. I'll be worried, man. If we're playing Monday, it's going to be a lot of anxious Vol fans leading
into
that game. It's going
to be a horrible morning. Oh, my God. We're going to be so stressed out.
Yeah, but I
out.
Think right now, Mineri's reacting to Vitello because he moved his ace to Sunday.
Yeah, he's not only reacting to Vitello. Tennessee fans, we're still living in his head. He's a day away from the Super Regionals, and he's apologizing to our fans. I think we are in their head well.
It's also
paying no rent.
See, I don't think you can do that. I remember Serrano used to do that when we were bad. When we would go into a series on the road at Florida, say, where where we were struggling and they were good, and the whole thing was don't get swept, he would sometimes pitch his ace on Saturday or Sunday because he knew that the other team would pitch their ace on Friday.
Right.
Which is the normal thing. And so it's like, okay, we're probably not going to win that Friday game no matter what. So we're going to put our best pitcher on the weekend in hopes that we can at least not get swept. Because that's
– didn't work a whole lot.
That was always the mantra was don't get swept. Well, it worked some, but not enough to do. It was
it's
a loser mentality, right?
Yeah. You ever seen that in Vitello who sends Drew Gilbert to the plate in that spot? Telling him swing away.
Yeah, I mean,
that's happened several times this year where people have been surprised that he sent batters out there and just basically like, do your thing. He plays to win. He ain't playing it safe ever. It seems like
you're right.
He's aggressive.
Remember when Vitello
been begging for in football forever? Somebody that like even Fulmer, big knock on him. He doesn't, you know, he's just trying to get to the end of the game.
You know, I remember when Vitello was just on our show on Tuesday or so, and I remember one of the things that he had said, and I can't find the exact quote. It was not one of the ones that tweeted out, unfortunately. But he said something along the lines of, we really want the continued energy. Like, of course, this is what we've been building this year. This is what we've been working towards this year with all of these fans coming together. Hell, we had to go get extra bleachers. When Vitello is saying, you know, hey, I want extra bleachers so we can get more people. Meanwhile, you have the LSU coach apologizing to all of those Tennessee fans. I think that really speaks to the mindset of where both teams are. Man, I say that Tennessee comes out strong and gets a win on Saturday night. Then when you're putting Blade Tidwell on the mound on Sunday, if that's how they go, I think I'm talking myself into two games.
So here's the longer quote from Maneri. I want to apologize about my comments about Tennessee earlier this season. There are wonderful people here. I kind of put my foot in my mouth there, but it also got blown out of proportion. I did not mean to criticize anybody from this city or this state.
Whoop-a-de-doo.
It's almost worse. Wow.
Wow.
You mean your boy T-Bob?
I guess that's...
I mean, T-Bob's the one who got it all stirred up.
I don't know, man. I never put the blame on the interviewer. I mean, he said it.
Yeah. No,
he's,
I mean,
he's a seasoned coach. He doesn't have to say what he said. And I don't, I'm not even that steamed about it, man. It was fun.
Yeah.
Like I said, if somebody asks you about it, you just say, hey, look, man, it was a tough series. We got swept. Yeah, I was a little salty about it. It sucked. Wasn't happy about it. And their fans let us have it. It was a rowdy atmosphere, and it's probably going to be more of the same this weekend. What do you want from me?
I wonder if he was prompted. I wonder if that came after a question or if that was just something he kind of wanted to get off his chest, right? Like if it was a, yeah, you know, we're not too worried. But also, I'd like to take a minute to say this real quick. Because, again, that just kind of speaks to, I think, maybe what is rattling around in the head of Paul Maneri 24 hours before the biggest game of the season for them.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange mental place to be. Like, if it's me, I don't care. I'm focused on my team, man. It's like, man, who are they going to pitch? This is who I'm going to pitch. What am I going to do if this happens, this situation? Going through all the situations that could arise, not only tomorrow, but over the course of the entire weekend and three possible games, to hell with your fans.
Yeah, and so that's why, you know, if he's answering a direct question, I understand it a little bit more. I think you should still deflect in that situation to say, you know what, we said what we said. There's a little bit of controversy. I think it might have gotten blown out of proportion, but we don't really care. We're going in there tomorrow to win. But if he wasn't asked about it, then I'm just like, man, yeah, this guy is rattled. He's rattled before they even get on the team plane. And that, to me, spells good.
See, but all this stuff will matter about 3 seconds after the first pitch hits the catcher's mitt.
Mm-hmm. I would say so, but also, I mean, what do you guys think? Is baseball the most mental game? At least to a good bit. I think it's at least up there.
No.
I mean, man, it might be up there. Somebody gets in your head and you're just sitting out there for 9 innings and You got nobody else around you?
Nah, it's not like getting in your head in football.
But at least football, like, it's always loud. And there's a moment of silence, you know, and you can just, you're by yourself in an isolated environment.
So here's something I've been thinking about.
Okay.
When we have these big at-bats, right, and our crowd is going crazy, because our crowd, if it's a big situation, we're screaming whether we're batting or pitching, either one. If you're a hitter in that situation, do you want it to be loud? Do you want it to be quiet? Like, are they intimidating the opposing pitcher? Is he more likely to throw balls or something like that? Would you prefer it to be a little bit quiet? Because that's one thing that's interesting, right? In football, you want it loud when the other team has the ball. In basketball, you want it loud when the other team has the ball. In baseball, I guess it's just loud all the time. No, if it's a big situation, you get loud.
I kind of feel like in basketball and baseball, it seems like, you know, your own team you're rooting for can get kind of juiced if the whole, like, arena or baseball stadium's going crazy.
Because the stadium was going crazy when Drew Gilbert was up.
Oh, yeah.
And it obviously didn't faze him.
No, he seemed to thrive in it.
But then there were also several times, particularly when Sean Hundley was in the game, where he was pitching himself out of jams and the crowd is on its feet and making all sorts of noise, and it obviously didn't hurt him either.
I think if you're at home, you just want him to – you want it to be as loud and as obnoxious as it possibly can be without going over the line.
It's a weird subconscious thing that I think that the athlete has in his head, that you know when the noise is for you and when the people that are making the noise are encouraging you versus the other way around.
I love the move that Peyton would used to do in the, you know, back in the day with the Colts crowder. He would just tell him to
quiet down. We're on the goal line.
What if we had moments like that? What if Drew Gilbert was walking up to the bat and he just started flapping his arms? Quiet, quiet, because he knew what he wanted.
Like, the problem is that it can – I mean, the quarterback has to communicate.
Yeah, no doubt. So if the fans are too rowdy, he's like, hey, I got calls to make. You guys really need to shut up.
Literally – one play can cost you a game.
Especially with a guy like that, where you know everything's in the call.
So this is a little bit off topic, but it's somewhat related. One of the things that's going to be interesting to watch in football this year is how they manage the atmosphere in Neyland Stadium for these home games. Because I know there's already been some communication between Heupel's camp and the administration about what they want it to be like when they have the ball. Tennessee, I think, was one of the slower playing teams in college football the past couple of years because they're one of the few teams that would huddle or take their time. Sometimes we go fast, but that was Cheney Pruitt, you know, it was schizophrenic. We never had any sort of identity. But generally, I think most people would say we played a little slower the last 3 years than most other schools. Heupel, I think, led the nation in plays per game and the amount of time they take in between plays. So they've already had some conversations about when they're going fast and they're snapping the ball with 25 seconds left on the play clock, the band can't be playing, right? And so that's – in the past, you have a 9-yard run. You cue up the band, and they might not play Rocky Top, but they'll play – they'll play
– and then it kind of softens.
They'll play
– like Game of Thrones theme?
Yeah, or the immigrant song or whatever we play, same 10 songs we've been playing for 30 years. And but they might not have time to do that this year, which I'm for, because I love Led Zeppelin, but damn it, if I hear that the immigrant song one more time, I might have to strangle somebody. Hey, can we go ahead while we're at it, retire Living on a Prayer?
That one's so inappropriate for the situation.
What about Welcome to the Jungle?
He's had a problem with that one.
Remember all the Welcome to the Jungle?
Let's get rid of the third down songs on defense.
Third down for what?
Yeah, nothing encapsulates the last 13 years of Tennessee football futility like getting drilled by Missouri or somebody on our home field and having to listen to Bon Jovi's Living on a Prayer, a song that was written when none of these players were even alive yet.
I mean, you were what, like probably 6?
Yeah. It's a golden oldie.
I was in high school.
Yeah, we know we're living on a prayer. Derek Dooley's down there. Yes, prayer is all we've got.
Oh, broken hip Dooley. We got Butch down there.
Pruitt just put in a fresh dip. You're damn right we're living on a prayer, and we ain't got much of one either.
Remember how purple-faced Butch would get? It looked like his jaw would unhinge, and then all the veins were popped out.
Remember when he kneeled after beating Georgia, and everybody compared the pictures of Butch and Neyland? Is this his kneeling moment?
No, it wasn't, and it was super cringy when everybody got on.
All the prayer in the world ain't gonna help Pruitt and Ansley cover the slant on third down.
Yeah. Was that ever incomplete on us while they were here?
I don't think so. You still haven't defended it. Brett says, the Euros started today. Italy winning 3-0. Who is your pick to win it? The Euros. Oh, man.
Who are you going with?
River's going with France. That's the easy pick. I'm going with Belgium. That's my selection. Belgium. Good squad. A lot of good players in the Belgian squad.
I'm going to go with the Brits.
Ooh.
The Limeys.
That would be fun. Whoa.
Our closest friends.
Whoa.
Our allies.
Can you say that? Isn't that kind of a slur?
A Limey?
Yeah.
You just did it again.
You just keep doing it.
I don't think it is.
Is there a good underdog? They're not going to win, but you know what? They got a fighting chance, and they might be fun.
I'm pretty sure I've heard Johnny Rotten refer to people like that, and he's British.
Yeah. I might be wrong.
Limey.
Oh, stay with
That's
us.
Third.
The drive continues.
The trifecta, the hat trick.
Fan Run Radio back with more after this, maybe.
The drive.
Wrapping up on a Friday. We got about 12 minutes or so left. If you want to jump in, 865-546-8200. LSU has announced their entire rotation for the weekend. We've been talking about Mikhail Hilliard on the bump tomorrow for the Tigers. Landon Marceau will get the ball on Sunday. And then, if necessary, Monday, they would throw right-hander A.J. Labasse.
Yeah, but do you trust Marinieri?
No, I mean, I don't know. Why would you – maybe they have to release that? I don't know.
I don't think they do.
The three right-handers, they don't have a lot. Tennessee catches a big break with Hill not being available because he was by far their most challenging pitcher to us
in
the regular season.
We've got a pretty good mix of righties
series.
And lefties, don't we?
Both hitting and pitching. Have you noticed that? Our batting order is pretty much righty-lefty, righty-lefty all the way through.
Yeah.
Which, that's it's good when they're hitting too, man. And they've got the bottom of the order hitting now as well. And hitting on all cylinders, man. Hopefully we could tee off on these guys.
Durkay's been hitting the ball down there in the DH slot. He's a Serrano guy. Who
really?
Are all the Serrano guys that are left on this team?
I don't know. That's interesting. I guess anybody that's a senior that's been here is Evan Russell.
I believe so. Lipschitz?
Good for those guys, man. What? Maybe when the season is over here in a couple of weeks, we can run some of these guys down and get them on the show. I'm sure they'll be.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Fired up to do interviews.
Oh yeah, man.
But what a journey that must have been for those guys to go from the, you know, last year Serrano doing so poorly that the coach is let go and everybody knows it's going to happen and it was just not very good, and Tony's first year was the second year was a little bit better, and then what happened last year, to go through all of that to experience this has got to be pretty cool.
Coach's second year, I felt like they were starting to flash a little bit. They were showing some signs that
they could compete.
Yeah.
It's got to be very similar to what Dane Bradshaw and Lofton and Juwan Smith went through when Pearl got here.
Yeah.
because nobody thought any of those guys, with the exception of Lofton, nobody, Bradshaw in particular. I don't know that Tennessee's ever had an athlete that's done. Because I remember at the end of his second year, he was a point guard. The team was struggling. He struggled at the position, and it was just like, oh man,
Bruce,
this dude's not very good.
Every last ounce of anything. I mean, he got every bit of Bradshaw's talent out of him.
I mean, all those guys, C.J. Watson and Lofton were pretty good players to begin with, but for him to be able to take Bradshaw, Andre Patterson, Major Wingate, Juwan Smith, turn those guys into productive players is,
you know,
really something.
Something we always talk about with the football coaches we've had here is they haven't done a really good job of identifying, once they get guys here, where to place them, you know, what their best position is to get the most out of them. Bruce Pearl was pretty damn – he's pretty damn good at it.
That's why I still say, man, I know that Barnes is in love with size, and I know that he's going to play probably Fulkerson and Huntley Hatfield on the court a lot at the same time. If it's me, man, I thought we played our best basketball with Josiah Jordan James at the four last year, but we'll see. Yeah, man, that's going to be another thing to kind of keep an eye on with Heupel is, can he take some of these guys who are quote-unquote leftovers from the Pruitt regime that didn't particularly perform well and turn them into productive players? Is Alante Taylor finally going to perform like the player that we all kind of thought he could be?
Mm-hmm.
Is a guy like Danico Slaughter, you know, will he pan out? Other guys that were on that, Roman Harrison, all the hype around him.
Yeah.
What a great athlete he is, and he hasn't done much yet. Can Tim Banks and that defensive staff get something out of him? Be interesting to see. Time will tell. All right, wrapping up. On a Friday, let's get Roger in here. Roger, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Well, hey, guys. What's up? How y'all doing?
Not much, Rog. How are you, sir?
I'll find it. Talk about the game this weekend. I can't wait to see it. That's why I asked you about it. I just want to ask you. How I know that since you're playing one out first, and they play Sunday too, but that's why I asked you. How important I guess, first, I want to ask you, how you feel about the game tomorrow? You feel, what's your feel right now for the game? We gained him one first.
Cautiously confident.
Okay.
I think Tennessee's got a great team. I think that Maneri is – it's interesting that he's kind of juggling his pitching rotation a little bit here.
Yeah.
That doesn't exactly project confidence to me, and I think our guys are they're always ready to play. So I will be stunned if we don't have a good showing tomorrow.
Yeah, you're right, and also how important, as you just bear, and but I know it's important because I know it's very important. But how important the first game is? How important is it to you all first game?
Oh, it's incredibly important, Rog. I mean, incredibly important.
That's what Chris Burke said. Is it's all about that first game, man. You have to jump on them because just the numbers bear it out. The team that wins that game one usually goes on to win the series.
Yeah, it is right. So you don't want to go, you don't want to lose the first game and have to win Sundays. You know, so yeah, it's important to win the first one and the second one. So how an office want to ask you. Ask you about SU. How is SU team and not Tennessee went three and zero, but is the team better? Are they any better than what they was first playing with?
Yeah, they absolutely are playing a lot better. In some ways, now their pitcher, one of their aces, got hurt. He needs Tommy John surgery, and then I think the problem they have was they did lose first night last weekend, if I'm not mistaken. And then they had to play, what was it, late on Monday night? So they've got one day less rest than we do on an already, you know, fairly taxed pitching.
Which that might have figured into his reasoning for playing Marceau, because he pitched both Friday and Monday for them. So
yeah, his arm might be. And that was one of the things that Chris Burke did say. He was, wasn't it Chris Burke, or it may have been T-Bob Hebert, that they were wondering how much gas, it may have been both of them, how much gas he had left.
Hopefully not much.
Yeah. I'd like to see us light him the hell up. Have like an 8-run first inning.
Woo!
Great. So.
Great.
Raj, thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Hate to end on a tragic note, but have you guys kept seeing the story coming out of China about the ultra marathon?
Yeah.
I've only seen headlines. What's going
week?
On with it? I'll
bring this up after you do, if you can keep it short. We'll do a lightning round here.
So a Chinese county official appears to have killed himself during an investigation into the deaths of 21 runners last month during an ultra marathon in China.
They got caught out in the weather, right?
State TV, says police were notified that a man had jumped from his apartment and died. Upon investigation, he was found to be Qingdao County Communist Party Secretary Li Zhubui. Homicide has been ruled out, according to CCTV. And if you can't trust Chinese Communist State TV, then who in this crazy world can you trust, ladies and gentlemen? But anyway, he had been investigating this race that they had in China. And, it, you know, one of these ultra marathons where it's like 60 miles.
Yeah.
And they run for sometimes over a day. Like over 24 hours. It's crazy. We need to talk about ultra marathons. That's something we've never discussed on the show. But anyway, they were running one out there. It's a 100-kilometer race, 62 miles. And it's along this extremely narrow mountain path with altitudes up to 9,800 feet. And they're running through this, and this winter storm came along, and all these runners had to go off, and they're huddling in these caves. With all these Chinese cave dwellers and shepherds and stuff. I mean, it's just the most remote part of the world you can imagine that they're running this thing through. And 21 people died.
I kind of feel like that's on those people, though. That's an inherently dangerous sport.
It's inherently dangerous. I don't know a ton of, like, how much they knew what was going on. Obviously, if...
I've known one person in my life that used to run that Hell of the West. It's like 100 and something miles through I think it's Death Valley. I like run damn through the desert. Those people are insane.
Yeah. So, bizarre situation over there. I can't run around the block. 62-mile marathon?
I saw a tweet a couple minutes ago that said, for anybody 25 years older and for anyone 25 years and older, when is the last time that you ran full speed? I was like, I don't know. For me, when I raced Cam like a year ago, what about you? When was the last time you ran full speed?
I ran full speed a while ago.
Yeah, why?
This year.
Why?
I was trying to do some interval type stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Yeah, be careful, man.
Yeah,
it's the best way to lose weight is to do interval sprints.
Yeah, and like swimming, I've heard, right? Because swimming is such a full body exercise.
You start swimming, it'll peel the weight off of you.
When was the last time you ran full speed, Bear?
2015.
6 years.
So what happens if you're somewhere and all of a sudden a grizzly bear is chasing you? You're in a situation.
If it's life or death, I got one. I feel like I'm pretty good. I've got one left. I got one in the tank.
One sprint?
Yeah, I got one sprint left.
How far do you think you can go? How long do you think you can run wide open?
I never ran more than – farthest I ever ran wide open was maybe like a quarter mile to half a mile, but I was chasing down a very, very, like, extremely violent teenager that I was responsible for making sure he stayed in custody.
He has one sprint stored for the last 6 years.
He's saving it up.
How you know, you're done, like Butler.
How long do you get to hold on to that?
Say goodbye for the weekend, Rick.
Does it have an expiration
date? Say goodbye.
How long do you get to hold on to that? Yeah, can you do that? You got to use it in the next 5 years or it's gone forever, Bear.
Oh, probably so. Probably so.
Big thanks to River Bailey for his hard work behind the scenes. Overtime up next. Let's get these W's.
The Drive.